May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 907. Wherewith shall I come before the Most High, who am but a worm and doomed to die? My nature unholy was tainted in birth, and nursed by folly brings all evil forth. Hymn 907.
In the Word of God from Psalm 107. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour, they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, and that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May the Lord bless his own word of truth. May he help us now to pray. O thou gracious, most merciful Lord, help us to bow before thee and come before thy majesty. Oh, how thankful we would be for a throne of grace. Oh, how thankful we would be for the God of all grace. Oh, where would we be, O Lord, in all our vast needs without thee? Thou who holdeth our soul in life, and thou who alone can do great wonders, for thy mercy endureth forever. Oh, may we come before thee now and be helped to pour out our heart to thee. We need thee. Oh, we need thy mercy. We need thy grace, O Lord. Oh, we need thee to be a sin-forgiving God. We need thee to come to us and visit our souls with thy salvation. And we need thee to undertake for us in all our vast needs as we pass through this wilderness here below. Lord, we pray there may be help this day as we gather together in thy name. We do pray that the gathering of the people may be unto thee. That thy name, Lord Jesus, may be precious to us. That we may be given that precious faith to believe on thee. And that we may trust in thee with all our hearts. Lord, to enable us to look up, we pray thee, even unto the hills from whence cometh our help, even from the Lord that made heaven and earth. We pray we may be helped to look up unto thee this day, and that we may be enabled to draw, O Lord, of thy fullness. O come, Lord, and grant that we may have a portion from thee. O come and, Lord, break to us the bread of life. Send forth thy word, open those streams. Give us of that water of life freely. And we do pray thou come and nourish the souls of thy people, O Lord, and bless them under the sound of the truth this day. We pray that none may be sent empty away from thy house. Lord, may there be no one sent empty home. Do grant there may be that portion for seven and also for eight. O Lord, thou seest us as we gather here in thy name. Thou seest us each together and each individually, O Lord. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to remember us in our low estate and look upon us in all our needs. And thou knowest what we have need of more than we. And therefore, Lord, we pray that thou hast grant that word needful. Lord, we pray that thou hast grant direction. Lord, grant comfort. Grant instruction. Grant, Lord, that we may be this day lifted above ourselves, our sins, and this vain world. Oh, we pray that we may know that rest which is in thee. Lord, we thank thee for the day of rest. Indeed, as we come together and retreat from the busy scenes of life, many cares of the way, we pray that we may be granted a thankful heart. Lord, we have thy day, and that we have thy precious word before us, the comfort of the scriptures, that we have thy house, and may it be a sanctuary to us, we pray. Lord, we would thank thee, how thou art worthy to be praised, for true thy goodness is very great, and thy mercy endureth forever. O Lord, may we praise you then as we come into thy courts and enter here with thanksgiving. Lord, we give thanks for the way thou hast brought us thus far, the many prayers heard and answered. O Lord, that thou dost send that needful help in our hour of need, and that thou givest more grace. O Lord, where would we be without thee? Thou only art our rock, our fortress, our high tower. O Lord, then remember us poor sinners this day. May there be souls here who have reason to thank thee and praise thee as they leave thy house this day. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to fill our mouths with thanksgiving. Lord, and that we may be helped to remember thee, think upon thy name, and our meditation of thee be sweet. O Lord, then look upon us each. Remember this cause of truth. And may thy blessing continue to rest upon them. And be with them as they gather for worship, week by week. Uphold those who hold office here. May they be helped together, and may they be strengthened, O Lord, in all that it brings. And that thou wilt bless the church and congregation. May they see a godly increase, and those whom thou hast added unto them, O Lord, do be with them, and continue to go before them, and may they be made a blessing to this church and people. How we long to see this amongst the churches, souls added, such as shall be saved. Let's grant that godly increase and that building up. We need thy work to appear, O Lord, and we pray it may. May we pray for then the churches round about. O Lord, pour out thy Spirit upon us. We pray thou hast blessed the ministry of thy word. We pray that souls will be favoured. And remember all thy labouring servants, we pray, those who come here, and wherever thy servants are labouring, up and down our land. May they be helped, may they be strengthened. May we pray that thou wilt speak through them and make them the Lord's messengers and the Lord's message. Pray it may be here even this day. Maybe something, Lord, whether it be in a hymn, the reading of thy word, something spoken, that may be thy voice to us. Lord, do forgive our every sin. We're very conscious as we gather here we're sinners. O Lord, deal with us in mercy. There is no other way, O Lord, of acceptance with thee. Lord, there is no other way to thy favour but through thy mercy. We do pray that thou hast been merciful to us now. Lord, do kindly then direct us this day, Lord, and this morning hour as we meet here into thy truth. Guide us in speaking, and guide us in hearing, and do thou come and do us good. Lord, we need thee, and we cannot do without thee. So we pray that thou hast grant to us the gift of thy Holy Spirit. Grant the real work of thy Spirit in our souls. We do pray for it. May we not walk in sparks of our own kindling. May we have thy real work within us. Lord, too, lead us in that right way, that we might come to heaven at last. So remember us now, we do pray, for we can only plead for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 170. What a doleful voice I hear. What a garden scene is there. What a frightful, ghastly flood. Jesus weltering in his blood. Hymn 170.
Thank you.
with the Lord's help, we would turn to Psalm 107 and by way of text to verses 25 to 28. Psalm 107, verse 25 to 28. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. This psalm begins with praise and thanksgiving, and it is in the spirit of praise that this psalm is written. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And as we may recall the Lord's way in our own experience, both spiritual and providential, this is surely the end of all our remembrance. Oh, give thanks. And all to remember his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, which endureth forever. Well, I believe we have set before us in this psalm the various states and conditions and dispensations through which the Lord's dear people, the redeemed, pass. Times of trouble and times of trial. Times indeed where they are perhaps shut up in a prison house, brought into depth through their own folly, and yet the wonderful mercy is they have a God to cry unto in their trouble. Ever an open door, ever a way of access there is for the poor children of God. There is none so too far off, too beyond the Lord's arm to obtain help. The Lord is a very present help in trouble. What a mercy if we have seen, dear friends, that open way, that the Lord has opened a door for us in heaven, and that we by faith have seen into the holiest of all. And we've seen Jesus, you see. That's how we see the open way. We see him. Yes, we see Jesus. And that's what we need in our troubles. But we see Jesus. And indeed, there we will have everything. And Christ says, he that hath seen me has seen the Father also. Oh, have we seen that open door in our troubles, in our sins? What a mercy we have. I say that he is a very present help, and does he not ever live now to make intercession for his dear people, who he intercedes for, whose cause he carries upon his heart, and bears their cause before his Holy Father, just as he prayed for them on earth and sought their good. I have prayed for thee, he said to Peter, that thy faith fail not. So now he still intercedes for all his people. Oh, therefore there is a God to go to, isn't there? A God to go to. And that well-known repetition then, that they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. that he bringeth them out of their distresses, testifies to the Lord's goodness, his mercy, which endureth forever. Yes, you may feel to be at the ends of the earth, so far out of the reach of God. Did not the psalmist say, even from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, the text here begins with the stormy wind and the waves. But the mercy is the one who rides upon them and in whose hands they are. And here faith has a place to lay hold on. For he commandeth. He commandeth. And raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. It is that God of ours who sits upon the flood, who sits king forever. None can usurp his throne. He is king forever. He sits upon the flood. And indeed, though floods of trouble may well have come through our sins, our follies, the wretched hearts that we have, the wretched natures that we possess, and though those storms and troubles come from Satan, yet still these things are in the Lord's hand, in this way that he permits it. These storms are under his divine permission, for he commandeth. He still sits upon them, king forever, still rides upon the storm. This is evident, isn't it, when even in that very literal way, when Christ walked upon the waters, they were under his feet, for he commandeth. And we have it so clearly in the scriptures. Even Satan is in the Lord's hands. Was he not so in the book of Job? God permitted things. Yes, and the Lord has reserved even the wicked for the day of evil there in his hand. And therefore we must look higher, mustn't we, than men. Look higher than situations. Look higher than troubles. Look higher than ourselves. For he commandeth. He commandeth. Well, we have to fall into the Lord's hands here. But sometimes we can only but stand back and observe these things. Things that have been entirely out of our hands. Things that have been so clearly ordered by the Lord. And we can only stand back and observe these things and say, he commandeth. But these stormy waves, these stormy winds and these waves speak of trouble. They speak of trial. And the Lord's people have to pass through the deeps at times. They have to walk through deep waters. Sometimes it's following the Lord through those floods. He whose path is in the sea, in the deep waters, and his footsteps are not known. Having to follow the Lord through deep things, because that's where he leads us. And yet... the poor children of God may feel to be overwhelmed, may fear that they will sink amidst the storms. And indeed, what is descriptive here is so descriptive of the Lord's people in those trials. They mount up to the heaven. They go down against the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And we see here such a picture of the mariner in deep waters. We know in some of these vast oceans how huge the waves can be. Many, many times higher than the vessels that go through those waters. And no doubt the mariners very much fear they shall be lost in the depths. And so their soul is melted because of trouble. And they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Troubles, yes, troubles of soul, troubles in our pathway. But I believe it is especially the soul trouble which afflicts the Lord's people. They grapple with the powers of sin. They struggle with themselves and their wretched hearts. What these storms throw up, you see, they throw up all manner of uncleanness and wickedness within our hearts. These storms indeed may make our minds to stir, and we may feel like the drunken man. But the soul of ours melted in a way of perhaps fear and anxiety, and we know how Satan would have it so, as he would say, "Where is now thy God?" But what a mercy, dear friends, if our soul can be melted before the throne of grace. And to realise then what we have here, or a God to go to in our distress, or one who cares for his people, one who we can cry unto in our trouble. Oh yes, the psalmist said, "The troubles of mine heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses." Now, we do desire to consider here a little the Lord and Saviour. And we were so pleased that was the subject of the second hymn. Because the Saviour has been indeed in greater depths than we. And the Lord, even the Father, commanded all that came upon Christ. The disciples couldn't understand it. They hardly knew what was happening. And their hearts were filled with fear when the Lord told them those things that awaited him at Jerusalem. And very afraid when he told them, after the Lord's Supper, a little more. How he had to counsel them, as we read in John's Gospel, to comfort them. But the Father commanded it. And yet, where did that trouble come from? What was the source of Christ's trouble? Why, it was our sins. Oh, it was our sins that placed Christ there at Calvary. And can we not see him in the garden, so pressed down, so oppressed by the weight of sin and grappling with the powers of hell, that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? And do we not read of him that he went to and fro? Went to his disciples, and then he went to pray, and then to return to his disciples, and then to pray again. All Christ indeed may be seen here in this word. Oh, such was his soul's trouble at that time. He said he was troubled, and he could hardly express that trouble. What can I say? Their soul is melted because of trouble. But the cup that the Saviour had to drink, you see, was deeper than ours. Our trouble is so small compared to his. Oh, the depth of trouble. And it's soul trouble. It's soul trouble. Oh, Christ carried the weight of the cause of his church through those bitter scenes. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Have we known then a little in our souls, a little sweet sympathy with the Saviour? And what a mercy if we can remember him. That is why the apostle writes, consider him, lest ye be weary, faint and be weary in your minds. But you see, he commandeth. It was the Father's hand. It was the wrath of Almighty God. Those wicked hands could not have taken Christ without God's permission. Although Peter tried to take matters into his own hand and strike the servant of the high priest, he cut off his ear. Christ told him to put up his sword into his sheath, for all who take the sword shall perish by the sword. Oh, Peter, it will return on thine own head. He said, can I not now ask, command those angels of heaven? You see, a whole host. But it wasn't the will of God, was it? For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Well, those things that happened that night, that solemn night, were no surprise to God. Though they seemed very strange, those events of the disciples, very strange. And their hearts are filled with sorrow. And they were troubled and they were distressed. And Christ had to counsel them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, hear his voice, let not your heart be troubled. Strange to you, maybe in your own path. But Christ says he's going before. Christ says there's a reason in it. Christ is going through the trouble for you. Christ is making the way for you. Hear his voice. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the way, you know, he says. Whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Oh, then to realize that Jesus has gone before. Jesus has gone before. He knows. And the way he knows. And he's gone before to prepare a place, to bring you through. He went to Calvary to prepare a place for you, to atone for you. He rose again and ascended to prepare a place for you. at the right hand of God. That is why then it is a beautiful thing in our troubles to consider him, because he's endured them, he's gone through them, and he reigns victorious. And he then will bring all his people also out of all their distresses. Jacob knew he had such a redeemer. He could testify of it when he was an old man. The angel that redeemed him from all his troubles, who led him to that day. And if there was ever a man who had a troubled life, it was Jacob. What a troubled life. Few and evil, he said, have the days of my life been. But he had a redeemer. What a mercy if you have a redeemer, one who holds your soul in life in the midst of the storm. And the Lord gives you precious faith that works as an anchor in him, holding you in hope, hope of God, hope in Christ, hope of heaven. But he, Christ, he's gone before to bring you through. And we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, a redeemer and a saviour who knows as man the sorrows of this lower world. Oh, who has walked it, who has felt it, who, having experienced it as man, can sympathise with his people. But he is victorious. And he has conquered sin, Satan, death and hell. What is troubling us today? What troubles you? Is it your sins? Is it Satan? Is it anxiety of the future? Is it your dying day? I say Christ is victorious. Christ is over all these things. And that is why he's a God that can deliver us. Because he's a God that has delivered. A God that doth deliver and a God that will deliver. The deliverance has already been made for the church of God. And it's in Christ. And that is why it's calling upon him in the day of trouble. It's calling upon the name of Christ. Because he is already delivered. We need him to give us the victory. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Christ says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. It's that glorious name that we must call upon. The name of Jehovah is the name of Christ, the God of man. And it's that name that has been given us, and the only name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other, you see. Salvation in none other. But it's in that name. Oh, have we seen the virtue, the authority of that name? For his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, and all the other names of God indeed recorded in the scripture. So many names can be attributed to him who is worthy of all glory. Oh, who is our wisdom and our righteousness? Therefore, is a calling upon the Almighty name. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Is this where our troubles have brought us? Have they brought us then to Christ? See, one there who is a brother born for adversity. There's never a brother like him. A brother who sticks fast, who keeps his love from first to last. It's Jesus is his name. We may then go to the Lord Jesus in our troubles. Oh, he doesn't drop his hold, be sometimes hot and sometimes cold. Jesus is the same. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He's the same, you see. We have not a fickle God. We have not one who changes. He's the immutable one. Faithful and true. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. So there may be matters in our lives which we greatly fear. But the Lord can bring us safely through them. We read of the disciples on that Mount of Transfiguration. And they feared as they entered the cloud. They were greatly afraid. But we read that that cloud was a bright cloud, and they heard the voice of God. And they saw the Lord in it, in all his glory. And that sweet word, when it was passed, they saw no man save Jesus only. That is what we need, isn't it? That is how we need to be brought out of our troubles, out of our distresses. So as we would see Jesus, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Oh, then, the Lord knows what rests upon our heart and upon our mind as we gather here this day. Those matters which are too hard for us, and we know that we, in our own strength, cannot bear them. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Now the Lord is, we read, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. It speaks of a place of refuge, one that we may fly unto, a place of safety and a place where the enemy cannot get us. A mighty fortress is our God. And it's this: the name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, have we known this in our spiritual experience? There will certainly come a time when the Lord will show us that we are sinners. And if there is ever a time in our lives where our soul will be melted because of trouble, it's that time when the Lord will show us we're a sinner. You may be going on in quite some calm and peace and false security, and at peace with the world, and at peace with Satan, and at peace with your sins. But I say, what storm was raised? Was it not the holy law of God that came with divine power and authority to your conscience? And if it was not merely the letter, it was the spirit of the law. It pierced your conscience. And the Apostle Paul had it, didn't he? When he said he was alive, quite secure without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived. He died. I believe we will know this. If we're the Lord's people, we will know the trouble that sin brings, and it will be a trouble to us because it was a trouble to the Saviour. And I believe it will be your greatest trouble. It will be your daily trouble. And that will bring a storm within your heart. Or was it not so with that Philippian jailer? And the cry was this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Have you known it? The time come in your life where you have realised you're a sinner. You've realised the holiness of God. Realise you're on the brink of eternity. You're ruined. And your soul is melted because of that trouble. These things are real, I believe, in the experience of the Lord's people. This is the way. This is the way we are brought to salvation. Eternity is a very real thing. Heaven and hell are a very real thing. Our sins are a very, very real thing. And the Holy Ghost will make it so. But it's the commandment of the law in a sinner's heart that will raise that stormy wind, waves and wind. The law enters. He realises he's a sinner. And he reels to and fro like a drunken man. Why? Because he's got no righteousness of his own to lay hold upon. He looks here and he looks there. He may look back in his past life and try and find something good to lay hold on and plead before God. May search his present profession to find some goodness. But he'll reel to and fro. Oh, this is a soul in a fittingly lost condition, isn't it? Thou shalt have tribulation 10 days. But you see, there is a throne of grace. A throne of grace for sinners in their trouble of sin. And this is the most blessed truth. This is the rock we need. It's the Saviour of lost sinners. Have you ever blessed God that there is a name under heaven? That you're on praying ground. It is the day of salvation. You can still pray. Plead the name of Jesus. Well, the Lord sees the troubled hearts of his people here. Has the Lord taught us to cry out? I say it's not the mere realization of sin that manifests grace. Saul knew he sinned. Judas knew he sinned and had betrayed innocent blood. But neither of them were sorry. Neither of them asked for forgiveness of God. Have you a desire of a cry in your heart to ask the Lord in your trouble, your troubles of sin? Ah, that is the work of the Spirit of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Does your soul thirst for God, for the living God? So who put that cry in your heart? Is it a cry for Jesus? Oh, that is then the work of the Spirit. And he will bring you out of this distress. As sure as you cry to be led to that rock that is higher than you, the Lord will bring you there. And in this bringing out of your distress, it speaks of a certain resting place. It speaks of a rock, or a place of safety. Just as Lot found that refuge in Zoar, and Moses in that place by God, who stood upon a rock, so the sinner will find refuge in Jesus. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will bring him spiritually, experimentally out of his trouble. He'll raise him up out of his distress and enable him to look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. Enable him to believe in him, to the saving of his soul, to hear the promise of the gospel, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Never sink into the deep, to rise no more. No, because he is faithful, and that name is faithful and true. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Oh, then, what a mercy of the Lord raises up a hope in you. And by precious faith, at length, brings you up out of that soul trouble. But we will need it again and again. We are born under trouble. As the sparks fly upward, we'll have a wretched man that is in it with us all our days. We'll know the works of the prince of the power of the air in this narrow world, all the while we're here. And we will need continually to cry this, for the Lord to bring us out of our distresses. Oh, then, we speak to the troubled souls of the Lord's dear people, troubled by their sins, troubled by Satan, who is such a troublemaker, who works upon our infirmities and our weaknesses, who speaks blasphemies, lies. And indeed, troubled perhaps by the pathway, troubled by the way the Lord is leading us, as it may be through a valley. But you know, David, there in that valley of the shadow of death, feared no evil, because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him still. That the Christ who says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that we may then be help to realize this. A very present help in trouble. You know those two on that road to Emmaus? How troubled they were by the distress that Christ had been crucified, and they had thought, trusted, had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They said, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You see, Jesus drew near and went with them, and he said this, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Does that not speak of us in the storms? O fools and slow of heart to believe. What a loving rebuke. What a good rebuke. Because much of our trouble is our unbelief. That is why we sink. But oh, to hear the word of Christ. Ought not Christ have suffered these things? Christ must go through these things. Ought he not to suffer these things? And I believe it speaks about you and me in our past also. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Do you not see it? Oh, then that we may believe on him. But you know, though they walked in darkness, those two on the road to Emmaus, they felt comforted by the words of Christ. And at length their eyes were opened to know who he was, and they were delivered. So you may walk in darkness at this present time and have no lights upon your path. You're full of trouble. But there will be nevertheless afterwards. You'll be brought to that place as those two were when they saw the Lord and knew who it was, and he'd walk with them all the while. Oh, Christ is a very present help, though we may not see him. Though the path will be strange, the path will be dark, but we will see him again. And Christ said, you will see me again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Oh, what the Lord hath laid up for those that fear him, that those that love him, that wait for him. What may be at the end of that trouble? What do we need at the end of our troubles? We need Jesus. Sirs, who would see Jesus, he bringeth them out of their distresses. Oh, it's Jesus in everything, isn't it? Jesus in our troubles. Jesus to bring us through those troubles. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. Our mind can't help going to those disciples who were commanded to go to the other side of the lake. And they came into a storm. But Christ came walking upon it. And as soon as he appeared and came up into the ship with them, immediately they came to the land whither they went. You see, they were brought out of their distresses. And it speaks, doesn't it, how quickly Christ is able to deliver us. How he can come in a moment in an instant. He did when they were shut in the upper room. He appeared. No barriers could withhold Christ. No walls or brazen gates or bars of anything. He came. And that's what we need. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. Well, the Lord holds the helm, doesn't he? He does, and he guides the ship. He who commands the storm guides the ship. The Lord has control of his church. The Lord has control of his people, everyone individually. And we need grace to realize it and observe it. And to watch the Lord's hand, which is why this psalm ends on that note. To be given the wisdom of precious faith. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That we may then watch the Lord's hand and in all things remember him. Remember the way he took. Be helped to lay hold on his strength. And to be helped to observe by faith his will. And to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Lord, not to lose sight of the Lord's faithfulness and goodness as we began, and that mercy which endureth forever. And I believe if the Lord brings us out of our distresses, there'll be this: praise and thanksgiving unto the God of heaven. That is what he deserves. That is what we must give him. And that is what we will desire to give him. If he brings us out. Oh, has the Lord done great things for you? Has he made you glad? Has he turned your sorrow into joy? Then he is worthy of praise. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And for those yet in the storm, that opening verse is a word of hope. Oh, then to be helped to look right on and to look up unto the Lord in our troubles. For his name's sake, amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £735, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 735. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquests over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. Hymn 735.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.